And good morning. We'd like to welcome you to the service here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, Hope Mills, North Carolina. Would you stand with me? We have a theme today, and it's revealed in these verses as you're standing and turning to number 116 in our hymn book. Revelation 19, 15 through 16 says, "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he," talking about Jesus, "hath his vesture on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Rejoice, the Lord is King. 116. Sing it.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I sing, rejoice. Jesus, the Savior, reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our sins, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules o'er earth and heaven. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Rejoice again, I say.
Rejoice in glorious hope.
Rejoice in glorious hope, for Christ the Judge shall come and take his servants up to their eternal home. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. Rejoice!
Rejoice, the Lord is King.
All right, good morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning. And let's open up with Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter 4. Good to see you this morning. Very grateful you're here today. The Psalm chapter 4. Let's read God's Word together this morning. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O sons of men, how long will my honor become a reproach? How long will you love what is worthless and aim at deception? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Many are saying, who will show us any good? Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Now let's go to the New Testament and the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 12 through 19. So Acts 3, and let's look at verses 12 through 19. Now, I'll give you a little bit of a background behind this. This is post-Pentecost. This is just after Peter and John had healed the lame man right outside of what is called the temple. And he is confronted about it. So then Peter, who had finally got his act together, he preaches this sermon, a very brief sermon. Say in verse 12, "But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, 'Men of Israel, why are you amazed at this, or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did also. For the things which God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.'" Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father God, we do thank you, Father, that as we just read in Psalm 4 of how you hear us, you answer our prayers, you are a God that loves us. You're a God that wants to meet our every need. And Father, you do that just from your common grace that you give to every human being that has ever lived, is living now, and will live. That there is not a day that we have to wonder of whether the sun is going to come up or when it's going to go down. That, Father, every day you are faithful and you reveal your faithfulness through nature. But you also reveal us your nature through how you provide for us and the daily provisions that each of us receives as a gift from you. But also, Father, we see in Acts chapter 3, as we just read, that the sinner is the one that Christ died for. It is our sin that put Christ on the cross. It is our sin that betrayed Christ. It is our sin that he shed his blood for. But Father, we do thank you as we celebrated 2 weeks ago, the resurrected Savior. But also, Father, we thank you for the gift of repentance that comes to those that truly repent and believe the gospel. And now, Father, I pray that you would bless the service this morning. Be with Richard as he's going through some testing with his pacemaker and some discomfort that he is having. We pray, Father, that you would just be with him. We pray for divine healing for him. Any others that are not here today, we just ask and pray that you would just give them your divine protection, your divine healing. I pray that you would just give your spiritual and physical healing to those that are in desire of it. And Father, may you bless today, may you bless this service, and may all things be done decently in order and be done for your praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's turn around. Let's shake hands, greet one another, if you will, please.
Hello, David.
All right, remain standing. We're going to worship again. We introduced this newer song last Sunday night, and it's got tremendous words. It's entitled God the Uncreated One, and it's amazing. Some of the scripture that Pastor just read comes into the words of this, the poetry of this song. And it's just entitled God the Uncreated One. It's also become known as A King of Kings Forever, too. And so let's sing it.
God the Uncreated One, the Author of Salvation, wrote the laws of space and time, and fashioned worlds to His design. The One whom angel hosts receive, stars like chandeliers, numbered every grain of sand, knows the heart of every man. He is King forever. He is King forever. He is King forevermore.
God our fortress.
God our fortress and our strength, the rock on which we can depend. Matchless in His majesty, His power and authority, unshaken by the schemes of man, never changing great I am. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, He is faithful through it all. Crown Him King forever, crown Him King forever, crown Him King forevermore.
He is our King. Amen. Amen. Mighty God.
Mighty God in mortal flesh, forsaken by a traitor's kiss, the curse of sin and centuries, did pierce the lowly Prince of Peace. Lifted high the sinless man, crucified the spotless lamb, buried by the sons of man, rescued by the Father's hand, to reign as King forever, reign as King forever, reign as King forevermore.
King eternal, God of grace.
King eternal, God of grace, we crown You with our highest praise. Heaven shouts and saints adore Your holy, holy, holy Lord. Joy in lasting light, all is love and faith is sight, justice rolls and praise and rise at the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings forever, King of Kings forever, King of Kings forevermore.
He is King of Kings, how long? Forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. Great singing. Please be seated. A few announcements this morning. Sean wanted me to remind all the ladies about the baby shower coming up this upcoming Saturday for Yara. And have y'all given the baby a name yet? You have, but you don't want to tell it, right? Eventually. Okay, it's your secret. We'll wait. Okay. Jonathan. All right.
Good name.
Good deal. So Jonathan, so we're having a baby shower next Saturday, ladies, for Yara and Jonathan. Joel, sorry, you don't get a shower. All right, sorry. But she also wanted to remind, there is a sign-up sheet. So ladies, just check it, double-check it. Make sure that you're signed up for it first. And then secondly, sign up that if you plan on bringing refreshments. That way we have plenty of food and refreshments and things of that nature for everyone that's going to be here next Saturday. Okay? I do have a couple of things that's not on the bulletin that I want to mention this morning. Tonight, the deacons, Pastor Ken and I, we're going to be meeting about 5:30, so the time has changed on that to 5:30, okay, instead of 5. And they're going to be talking about some business matters that need to be discussed. So we're going to have a business meeting next Sunday night after the PM service, because there's one particular item that we've got to make a quick decision on it. And I'll go ahead and tell you what the item is. It's the fencing for the playground that we're going to be putting out back. So we got a bid on it. We're going to discuss it tonight, and then we'll bring it up for discussion and a vote, because we've got 30 days between we reset the bid and to go ahead and take action on it. So we need to go ahead and get on it now so that we don't go past that 30 days. We want to go ahead and get that playground set up. I would love to get it set up for Vacation Bible School. Okay, so that the kids will have something to play on when we have game time and that sort of thing during Vacation Bible School. Okay, so we'll have a business meeting next. I know you're not going to be here, but we can make it without you. Okay, yeah. Yeah, okay. All right, so anyway. And then next Sunday, 4:30, we're going to have a leadership meeting here for those that are usually coming for that as well. Okay. And then we've got Mother's Day coming up. We've got a lot of events coming up in the month of May. Last night of Awana coming up on the 12th. Remember, on Memorial Day Sunday, it's just Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, and then nothing on that Sunday night. So no Sunday night Bible study on that day. And so just remember that that weekend, if you would. We'll be adding some activities throughout the summer. Even if you're not a baseball fan, I know some of y'all like to hang out and even just kind of hang out with one another. But the Woodpeckers are going to be back at it here pretty soon. Even though, you know, COVID is still existing, but they are going to start selling tickets for the games here pretty soon. So we'll be adding some activities with Woodpeckers games where we can go as a church family and just hang out and enjoy a baseball game or just enjoy fellowship with one another. So we'll be adding some dates to that. So keep an eye out on your bulletin announcements for some additions with that as well. All right, Pastor Ken, do you have anything else? All right.
All right, let's worship one more time. 124, would you stand with me? Keeping our King theme, lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. 124.
Lead on, O King Eternal, the day of March has come. Henceforth, in fields of conquest, thy tents shall be our home. Through days of preparation, thy grace has made us strong. And now, O King Eternal, we lift our battle song. Lead on, O King Eternal, till sin's fierce war shall cease, and holiness shall whisper the sweet amen of peace. For not with swords are clashing or roll of stirring drums, with deeds of love and mercy the heavenly kingdom comes. Lead on, O King eternal, we follow not with fears, for gladness breaks like morning where'er thy face appears. Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest. Lead on, O God of might.
He is our King eternal. Thank you. Great worship today. Thank you, worship team. No rehearsal tonight. And pastor's coming, so get your Bibles ready.
All right, I did fail to mention one thing with the bulletins. We're going to be having Vacation Bible School here up pretty soon. And Berean Baptist has, really since I've been here, we follow the same curriculum that they do with Answers to Genesis. This year is Mystery Island. Is that right, Sean? Mystery Island is the theme this year. We were supposed to have done it last year, but because of COVID, so we couldn't have Vacation Bible School last year. So this year is advanced. Answers in Genesis did not do a new curriculum this year. They just basically kept the same one from last year because most churches did not do Vacation Bible School last year. So two things in particular. Our Vacation Bible School usually follows at least 1 week, if not sometimes 2 weeks, behind Berean Baptist. So they always give us their decorations. Well, what they have asked us to do is to help out with making the decorations. Okay? So they have designated some Saturdays between now and when Vacation Bible School starts to go to Berean on Glensford Drive, to go to the fellowship hall. And Tina McFadden is the director of all the decorations, and she has said you don't have to be an artist. You don't have to be gifted. If you can put a marker in your hand and color between the lines, you're gifted, okay? And they do some elaborate stuff, and they always pass it over to us. So every year she is always asked, hey, can you help? And it's always been, well, I wish we could, but we can't, because they've always done it during the week. Well, they've adjusted that schedule to where it's on Saturdays this year. So if you could help out, let me know, and I will give you Tina's contact information. Or you just let me know, and I can give you the information of when they're going to meet and when the times. I know one of them is going to be this upcoming Saturday. Well, I don't want that to interfere with the baby shower, because that's already been planned. But in the future, going on into May, they could use all the help that they could use, and we benefit from it. So, I mean, you don't want to be a taker without being a giver as well. So I think that would be a great thing for us to unite with them in helping make the decorations. So even if you could just go over there for a couple of hours. In fact, I think they're only doing it like 2 or 3 hours at a time. So if you could just go over there and just for a couple of hours just help out with making some of the decorations, that would go a long way with helping. So the second thing with that, we're going to need workers. We have made, Sean and I talked about this the other day, we have made one slight adjustment in the date. Initially, it was going to be the week after, the last week of June. Well, we moved it up a week because there was some a particular family that does a lot of work in Vacation Bible School is going to be on vacation that week. Well, we moved it up a week. Well, that's Father's Day week, so we do it Sunday through Thursday. Well, Father's Day, a lot of people are, involved with their fathers on Sunday, Father's Day Sunday. So what we're going to do this year is we're going to do it the Monday after Father's Day through Thursday. Okay? So it's Monday through Thursday, so it's not 5 days, it's 4 days. So it's going to be a little bit of an abbreviated Vacation Bible School this year. Okay? But we need workers. We need people to teach. We need people to clean. We need people to help out with the games, nursery, refreshments, okay, crafts. So we're going to need all hands on deck. That is our biggest outreach, okay? And if it wasn't for Vacation Bible School, we would not have the Hills, we would not have the Autrys, and we would not have the Barefoots and the Moors. Anybody else not here because of Vacation, or is here because of Vacation Bible School? So that is 1, 2, 3, 4 families right there here because one parent that played Little League baseball with Jacob invited them to Vacation Bible School. So Vacation Bible School is a wonderful tool. Yes, sir. Yes, they're evening. Yes, they are evening. Okay. So plan on working that week, if you would, please, the week after Father's Day. Okay. All right. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We are now looking at the final portion, final chapter of 2 Timothy. We looked at 1 Timothy for a while, got into 2 Timothy, and now we're finishing up. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, when I got home from our shooting activity, and I'm embarrassed, and all the men should be embarrassed, that two teenage boys and a lady outshot the men. Okay? Yeah, because you weren't there, yeah. Yeah. Okay? I understand y'all had a really good time after I left. Okay? But we had a great time. So we're going to be planning another one here in the next couple of months. We're going to plan another outing to where we'll go up to the Stevens place and have a time of activity. But when I got home in the afternoon, I turned on the news and I watched the funeral for Prince Philip that had died. And he had written out, when he was 76 years of age, he had written out his funeral. Everything that he wanted to be read, everything to be sung, the order of service, the whole nine yards. He had it all written out when he was 76 years old. Didn't change it. In fact, two of the hymns that were sung, no, I'm sorry. There were 4 hymns that were sung. 3 he had written out specifically for his funeral. They were based off of Psalms. So really all it was there was no eulogy, there was no sermon, was a hymn, scripture, hymn, scripture, hymn, scripture, hymn, dismiss. I found that very, very interesting. And it was said later that the reason why he put it that way is because he did not want it to be about him. He said he wanted it to be about what he had learned from the scriptures as a child. And that's how he wanted to be remembered. You know, the last words that a person says or that a person writes are important. That's how a person is remembered in eternity, as far as human beings are concerned. Well, what we are looking at now in chapter 4 is the last words of the Apostle Paul. We could say, really, it is his last will and testament. So let's look at verses 1 through 5. It says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Underline those 3 words in your Bible, if you will, please. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanted to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Our Father, I pray now that as we get into this text, and it's such an important text, such an important passage of Scripture that is so applicable, especially in today's society, where there are so many churches, so many so-called pastors that say that they have the calling of God in their lives, but have specifically gone away from what they have been initially called to do, and that is to preach your word. And I pray, Father, that as we look at this text this morning, give a stronger resolve, give a stronger conviction of the need to preach your word, especially in today's society. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sean, do you have a key to my office? You do? Would you go, Sean? You'll know where to look. The city view that is on my desk. Would you grab that and bring it to me? Now, both books of 1st and 2nd Timothy is an instruction manual. It is an instruction manual to the young man Timothy of how to conduct himself as a pastor, as a shepherd in the ministry. And now we are seeing in chapter 4, we are seeing those final portions of these instructions. So let me give you just a quick review of 2 Timothy. Back in Acts, we see that Timothy was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. But while he was pastor, it is believed that he was in his 20s, or at the most, he was in his early 30s. It was while he was a pastor there that false teachers, charlatans, that they had reared their ugly heads up within the church of Ephesus, had infiltrated themselves within the church, and the great apostle was instructing Timothy to confront them and to deal with it, and to return that great church of Ephesus back to emphasizing sound doctrine and godliness, holiness, and God's word. We also need to remember that there was empire persecution, which had caused many to defect from the church. And Paul's instructing Timothy not to focus his ministry. I want you to listen to this statement here. Paul was instructing Timothy not to focus his ministry on visible success. You listen to what I'm saying? Not to focus his ministry on visible success, but on the excellence of his service. The focus on his commitment and his strength of his character and the strength of his commitment. And Paul knew that his life would soon be ending. And these are his last words. He desired to make sure that his last words were very important words. Now, sadly, in our society, we are focusing churches on their size, their style of worship, the personality of the pastor, external issues, rather than focusing on the need for spiritual growth, the need for the purity of the gospel, the centrality of expositional preaching and teaching of God's word. Every year, the City View magazine comes out with a faith issue, and it's usually the April issue. And they take churches in the area and they focus on them. I'm not going to name who the churches are. I'm not going to name the preachers, but I think some of you in here can pretty much nail it without me having to tell you. Okay, this is how the description of them. This is the up and coming mega church in Fayette. It says this. It says, under Pastor so-and-so's leadership, it has grown to 3 locations as a passion to serve our community. We believe that saved people serve people. Okay, good, right? Shouldn't saved people serve people? Yeah. From hosting Hop in the Park, an Easter event that draws 25,000 plus people annually, to Operation Compassion, an initiative that feeds 5,000 people a Thanksgiving meal, this church exists to serve others. The church also started a nonprofit organization that empowers people to volunteer to meet the needs of those around them. And over 10,000 community service hours have been logged so far. This church holds worship services on Sundays at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. and offers ministries and programs for the entire community. The other day I went on this church website. Guess what was the top heading? Come party with the pastor. Y'all want to party with me? Anybody want to party? That's your German coming out in you, right? Guess what's missing? The gospel. Guess what is missing on their website? The gospel. Guess what is missing in his messages? The gospel. Here's another one. This church invite you into hope that you will find a church to be Christ-centered, called to action by the love of God and neighbor. They invite you to join them in seeking to demonstrate the light and hope of God's good news in Fayetteville and beyond. Okay? Now, this one was more closer to the first one. But I went on their website. Nothing about the gospel. Okay? Or another interesting one. This is a woman, a reverend. She wants to inspire ministry, have positive energy and creativity among many God-given gifts. She holds a master's degree in divinity and served the Presbyterian Church USA continuously for over 20 years. Upon her installation of pastor in 2018, this Fayetteville newcomer immersed herself in the community, engaging the church in several new community partnerships. In 2019, she became an adjunct chaplain at Methodist University. Guess what's missing? Anybody want to say it? The gospel. There's another church here. I could go on and on. Guess what's missing? Now, they do provide Chick-fil-A breakfast to those people that want it. But guess what's missing? The gospel. Large mega church. Guess what's missing? The gospel. There's Methodist University that is led by a female chaplain by the name of Kelly Taylor. Guess what's missing? The gospel. All throughout, all these churches that are named, not one thing about the death and burial and resurrection of Christ, that their church is centered around God's Word. The first one that I read to you, they advertise every week on WFNC during the Friday night football game of Terry Sanford High School. And this is the message that is in the advertisement. Come worship with us because we will give you a relevant message to help you throughout the week. Now, I don't think that's what Paul had in mind. Paul had in mind this: preach the word. Preach the word. So there's nothing more. You know, everybody's talking about gun control right now. It's not gun control. It's sin control. Control sin. How do we do that? We preach the gospel. That is the only thing that is going to turn society back to God, is preaching the word. Preaching the gospel. How are we to do that? Well, let's look at verse 1. We are to preach the gospel because we are preaching and teaching in the presence of God. Okay, let's look back at verse 1. I solemnly charge you. Remember when we ordained Jeff and we ordained Tyler to be deacons? You know, that was a pretty solemn service, I would say. I was asked the other day to be part of an ordination council for Brian Howell, who is on staff at Berean Baptist. And in the email invitation, it was, I invite you to be part of the ordination council so that we can solemnly charge Brian to be an ordained minister of the gospel. Paul is saying here to Timothy, I seriously, this is serious business. This is serious that I am charging you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. The word charge there means to testify, to attest, to solemnly affirm. It carries the idea here of giving a forceful order or a directive. It's not a recommendation. It is a command. It is saying, Paul is saying to Timothy here, Timothy, you have no choice but to do this. You have answered to a holy calling, and this is how you fulfill that calling. Now, James chapter 3 said this, verses 1 and 2. Where he says that there is no more important calling than the calling of a man to be a preacher. He says, do not become teachers in large numbers. My brothers, since you know that we who are teachers will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. Listen, James is saying here, it is serious business to teach God's word. Whether you be an Awana instructor, whether you be a Sunday school teacher, whether you be a Christian school teacher, whether you be a parent, you're teaching your children God's Word, as a pastor, as a deacon, as an elder, it doesn't matter. If you are holding forth God's Word to others, it is serious business. And God will hold you accountable for how you handle God's Word. Now, why is it so important? Well, first thing is this. Christ shall judge the living and the dead. It says here that Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, it's broken down in two ways. Christ will judge those that were called but refused. But also, Christ will judge those that were called and answered the call, but how accurately they handled the Word of God, how accurately they preached the Word of God, and how accurately they taught the Word of God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 42, and He ordered us to preach to the people and to testify solemnly that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. So not only will He judge the living and the dead, but He shall also appear in glory. Okay? Let's look at the latter part of that verse. And by His appearing and His kingdom. Okay? So, go look at the word appearance. The word appear just simply means this. An appearing, an appearance, or a brightness. William Barclay, in his commentary on this book of 2 Timothy, he said that this word appearance is the same Latin word that the Romans used with a conquering king. That when a conquering king would appear into a town or a city or to a territory or province that he had just conquered, they would cry out, "Here comes the conquering Epiphany." Which is the Greek word for appearance. It speaks of when the conquering emperor would return back and ascend to the throne of his empire. It is used 6 times in the New Testament. And all 6 times is used in the New Testament speak of the glorious appearing of Christ as the conquering king returning to take his rightful place as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Titus talked about it in chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing or the glorious epiphany of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we see the latter part of that verse, that Christ shall set up his kingdom forever. Note those words, his appearing and his kingdom. What is meant by his kingdom? A true minister that handles the word of God properly will be a citizen. Okay, all of us that are believers will be citizens in the kingdom of God. This kingdom here is referring to the millennial kingdom. Now, don't think for one moment that the millennial kingdom, which is going to appear, which is going to happen, after the great tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and the merge into the new heaven and new earth, that is a 1,000-year reign by Christ. Now, don't think for one second that all we're going to do is sit on our hands. We are going to work. Every one of us. Now, that word work, I know to some of you, is a dirty four-letter word that should never, ever be uttered. Now, let me say this. This work that we're going to be doing is going to be a glorious work. And there will be many that will be given great jobs of leadership that while here on earth, we didn't see coming. And then there will be those that we think, okay, that person is probably going to have a lot of rule in the millennial kingdom. Well, they will be the bottom ones on the totem pole. Why? Because God watches. He sees those that work with the attitude of, I want people to see me. I want people to see how I work, how I serve, how I do this. So that when they get to the millennial kingdom, well, what do I do? Well, you did all your work back then. You got all your praise back then. So guess what you're doing here now? You're mopping floors. You're sweeping. Guess who your boss is? It's the one that you never saw serve. It's the one you didn't know was working and praying and exhorting behind the scenes. It's the one that taught the first grade Sunday school class for 50 years, like Mrs. Williams at Beacon Baptist in Raleigh. 50 years teaching the same Sunday school class. Her church rewarded her for a trip to Hawaii, first time she ever flew. A trip to Hawaii for her 50-plus years of service to teaching first grade Sunday school class. Sonia, you got a ways to go for it, okay? All right. Keep working. Maybe you'll get there. We will be working in the millennial kingdom. The one who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on the throne. See, the rank and position or the rank and responsibility will be based upon our faithfulness here on earth. William Barclay said this, so live and so work that you will rank high in the role of citizens of the kingdom, and the kingdom comes. Number two, we are to preach the word because it is a command from God. We are to preach the word because it is a command from God. Let's go back to verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. So, first thing underneath that is, we are to preach the word. Now, what is meant by the word, word? John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That word, Word, is the word logos, which simply means this. It means the Word of God. It means the Word of God. So the word preached there simply means this. It means to be a herald. How many's ever heard of an opera singer called a caruso? That is the word for preach. It is caruso. That is the Greek word for preaching. It is basically a herald. It is to officiate as a proclaimer. It is always to be suggested with formality, with gravity, and with authority, which must be listened to and obeyed. It is used as a public proclamation of the gospel and matters to pertain it to it, made by John the Baptist, by Jesus, by the apostles and other Christian teachers. That word is, word of logos is 218 times in the New Testament. Word of Christ is 7 times in the New Testament. You think that if it's mentioned 208 times just in the New Testament, that's be pretty important. Where it talks about the Word in the Gospel of John, it is discussing here that it is the essential Word of God. That Jesus Christ is the personal wisdom and power in union with God. His ministry in creation and government of the universe. That He is the cause of all the world's life, both physical and ethical, which for the procurement of man's salvation put on human nature in the person of Jesus the Messiah, the second person in the Godhead, and shone forth conspicuously from His words and His deeds. So how are we to preach the Word? Well, it gives us a very, very good outline here. Number one, we are to be ready. We are to be ready. Note there, it says, preach the Word, be ready. Be ready. It means this, be alert. It comes from a military term. And that military term is this, that the soldier must always be ready to enter into battle, or the guard that is continually on the alert for any threat of infiltration or attack by the enemy. How many of you have ever been to, what's the cemetery up in D.C.? Arlington Cemetery. How many of you have ever been to Arlington Cemetery? How many has ever seen the changing of the guard? Okay. You know what they always say when you do the changing of the guard? Okay. They come out and they command everyone to be quiet. And then they go through the routine. I mean, it is a solemn occasion. And I watched last night about a 20-minute video of what it takes to be considered a member. Just to be considered a member of the honor guard. It is the third most sought after award in all of the military, is to be a member of the honor guard. And the rigorousness of this that they have to go through. And if they mess up one time while guarding the tomb of the unknown, they are removed and have to go back to basic training. Not basic training of the military, but back to the person that trained them, and they have to go through training all over again. And then when they get back at it, if they mess up one more time, they are removed from the honor guard and they lose that badge. It's not a lifetime appointment. They lose it. And I have been there. I went there with Bradley a few years ago. There's an area, a rope, that if you approach that rope, it does not end well. And Bradley and I were just kind of standing there, and we saw this lady come down from the steps for the camera. Innocent as could be. Just walked up, started snatching, and he drew on her. I mean, these guns have, like, knives at the end of it. And drew on her and told her to stop. Underneath my command, I tell you to stop. Everybody stopped. And then there were some teenagers off to the side laughing and giggling. He drew on them and told them, "This is a solemn occasion. You are to be quiet." Listen, that guard that is there is ready. He is alert. So must we. See, this here that is given to Timothy is just not to preachers and pastors. This is given to every one of us that claims to be a Christian. We must be ready. Secondly, we are to preach the word in season and out of season. Now, what does that mean? In season and out of season. Well, it simply means this. We are to preach the word when it is favorable and that there is a great opportunity to preach it. In other words, when everybody likes it, when everybody wants it. But then, out of season means this, when it is not favorable, when it is not popular. And then we are to preach the word with reproof. The word reproof simply means this, to convict, to refute, to lead to conviction, to confession, lead to repentance. And then there's the word rebuke, to admonish or charge sharply. But it doesn't end there. He adds something very, very significant here. Exhort or encourage with great patience and instruction. Paul says, Timothy, you are to be ready at all times to preach the gospel. At a minute's notice, be ready. You're to do it when it's popular and do it when it's not. You're to do it to convict. Sometimes you've got to do it sharply. But you also need to do it with patience and instruction of teaching. That word exhort is the word parakaleo or paraclete, which is the same word that describes the Holy Spirit, which simply means this, to call to one side, to call for, to summon. We could say it would be to disciple. To call to one side and disciple them. Number three, we're to preach the word because of the urgency of our times. Because of the urgency of our times. Verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, see, those that I just read, and that was only about half of them. I didn't see anywhere in there, in their description of their church, talking about doctrine. Nowhere. Serving, okay, that's good. Okay, serving Thanksgiving meals to the homeless, okay, that's good. I'm glad you do that. It's wonderful. But if you don't do it with the gospel, and if you're not teaching and preaching sound doctrine in your church, that you're not doing what you have been called to do as a pastor, as a preacher, and as a church. You know, we live in a day where people choose churches because of what is delivered from the pulpit because it endorses their sinful lifestyle. They don't want to go to a church that confronts their sinful lifestyle. They want to go to a church that endorses their sinful lifestyle. Why do you think that the mega churches that don't open the Bibles, they don't sing hymns, they sing Shine, Jesus, Shine 50 times, and they give a little sermonette to make you feel good for the week. Why do they do that? Because they want to keep people. Let me tell you, there's been many times that I have prepared a sermon and my toes were black and blue because in preparing, I'm stomping on my own toes. And there are times, yes, my message needs to be encouraging, but there's also times it needs to be convicting as well. And Paul says here that we need to preach the gospel because of the urgency of our times. Now, note the urgency here. He says that there will come a time where they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay, what does that word endure mean? It means to put up with. They will not want it. I've had people tell me, well, I won't go to that church because all they talk about is doctrine. Really? You won't go to that church because of they teach doctrine? We need doctrine. We've got to have doctrine. Because if you don't have doctrine, you don't know what you believe. You don't know what you know. And then it also says, but wanting to have their ears tickled. In other words, they want to hear what they want to hear. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. What is Paul saying here? He is saying that there will come a day of a great apostasy. Go with me, if you would, back to your left, to 2 Thessalonians. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now, the church of Thessalonica was a confused church, and they were confused about the second coming of the Lord. They were worried about it. Okay? When is it going to happen? They were looking for signs. They were looking for all of these things of when the Lord would return. Even Paul believed that during his lifetime that Christ may return. But the Apostle Paul answers that question. He says, now we request you, brethren, looking at verse 1 of chapter 2, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, talking about the rapture, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit, talking about a demon, or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. Don't let them trick you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. Okay, now, what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying here that the rapture will occur when there is a large, known, obvious, worldwide apostasy of well-known pastors, well-known Christians that once stood for the faith have deserted the faith. They have committed apostasy, and they cannot return back to it. They have apostatized themselves. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will run away from it. People will listen to teaching that inflames their own desires or passions. And people then will turn to myths, false teaching, false religions, etc. The Mormon religion, you know who's feeding it? The Southern Baptist Church. The number one age group that is going to the Mormon Church are between the ages of 18 to 24, and they are coming out of evangelical Southern Baptist churches. And when asked why, this is a USA Today article, when asked why, they said, number one, they know what they believe. Secondly, they look and they act different. You get that? They know what they believe, and they look and they act different. They're turning to myths. Fourthly, we are to preach the word in order to complete and fulfill our ministry. Verse 5 says that we are to be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of the evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Be sober-minded. That means serious about the gospel. Serious about God's Word. Be willing to endure suffering. Do the work of the evangelist. Preach the gospel. Live the gospel. And that will fulfill our ministry. Let me give you three applications this morning. The first one is this. Pray for a resurgence and a restoration of churches and preachers and teachers to preach the whole counsel of God. Pray for a resurgence and a restoration of churches and preachers, teachers, to preach the whole counsel of God. Secondly, do not allow your ears to grow itchy. Now, let me explain that. Don't follow every false teaching that's out there. Use discernment. Okay? Watch out for key words like, I have a new word from the Lord, or I have received a word from the Lord, or cast your seed. Okay? Trust me. No, don't trust me. Trust God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And thirdly, we must always look at the prospect of Christ appearing and the reality of His kingdom to encourage us to fulfill our ministry. You say, Dwayne, I don't have a ministry. Yeah, you do. Every one of us in this room this morning has a ministry. If you're a parent, guess what you got? You have a ministry. You have a ministry to your child. If you teach Sunday school class, guess what you have? You have a ministry. If you're a deacon, deacon's wife, you have a ministry. If you're a public school teacher, boy, you have a great ministry. You have a great opportunity for ministry. Okay? You have a ministry. Sunday school teachers, ministry. Awana, ministry. We have ministries. All of us has a ministry. Let's pray together, may we? Our Father, what a somber passage of Scripture this morning. And Father, we're very thankful for it. And now, Father, I pray now that we would be serious about the preaching and teaching of Your Word. And Father, I pray now that all of us in this room this morning, that we would embrace the seriousness of preaching and teaching Your Word and properly handling Your Word. Father, I pray that You would just use us greatly in Your work. Use us greatly to advance Your kingdom, to build Your kingdom. And Father, we don't want to do it for our praise and our glory. We want to do it for You, because this is what You have commanded and told us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, if you will, please. Tyler, I'm going to ask if you will come up and dismiss us in prayer this morning, if you will.
Verse 305, which begins, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be.
King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee, even Thy cup of grief to share. Thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I I forget thy love for me. Lead me to Calvary.
Remain standing for prayer. We want to get on the mic.
All right, let's pray. Do what we do. We just come before you, Lord, and just humbled by your word. Lord, humbled by how it applies to each and every one of us today, right now. Lord, personally, I know I've been convicted by this message this morning in my own life. And I see, you know, opportunities and ways where, you know, I need to be faithful to preach the word, Lord, to be communicating that, you know, through my words and actions to those that are around me. Lord, you know, it's very easy for us to think about ourselves and how we can just kind of skirt around and just live our lives without, you know, focusing on the main focus, which is your glory and your honor. Lord, I pray that you would just go before each and every one of us this week as we go out, that we would use the Holy Spirit in our hearts and our lives to remember the word that we've heard today and be faithful to communicate that to others when opportunities arise. We just thank you and praise you. We know that you will answer that this week. And we thank you and praise you. And it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good job.